If recent events on the cybersecurity front have scared the heck out of you, well, good. There's a lot you can do. How about start by reading the latest version of the government's premier publications on how to assess whether your security and privacy controls are adequate for today's hacker-plagued world? Joining me with what's in the newest version of Special Publication 800-53A, Dr. Ron Ross, FISMA Implementation the project and joint task force leader at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Ron, great to have you back.
Good morning, Tom. Happy holidays to you.
And to you, too. And so this latest version, 800-53A, is a companion to your main publication, 800-53. What's in 53A?
53A is a companion for the simple reason that it provides all of the procedures that a federal agency would use to demonstrate that the security controls and they've selected for their organizations and their systems are actually effective in the operations that they're carrying out day to day. So it usually follows a major update of the target, the main publication, 800-53, which has all of our security and privacy controls.
And so that you did revise recently?
Yes, that was revised in April of 2013. And it was a significant update working with our joint task force partners, the Defense Department and the intelligence community. We provided a host of new security controls and privacy controls for our customers to defend their organizations and their systems against an increasingly sophisticated set of cyber attacks.
And just as an aside, do you think a company like Sony might have been better off if they'd paid attention to some of these the concepts in 53 and 53A?
You know, I think in general, without talking about specific companies or specific agencies or specific types of attacks, in general, there is a lot of good information in our special publications, especially in the security and privacy controls document. There's a rich set of controls. People talk about the number of controls in the publication, but each one of those is developed in response to either a cyber attack that's occurred or one that we expect to occur. So I think whether you're required to use the publication in the federal government or if you use it on a voluntary basis in the private sector, which many companies do, I think everybody benefits from having a better set of safeguards and countermeasures today.
Yeah, you answered my next question is people in the private sector take this on for themselves just because of the information that's in there.
They do. I've always maintained that whether you're in the public sector or private sector, even if we didn't have the FISMA legislation, the Federal Information Security Management Act, just protecting your mission or your business today is critical to the lifeblood of every organization because of our total, and I use that word total very specifically, our total dependence on information technology for our missions and our business success today. And we're seeing every day an increasing number of attacks, the sophistication. So our defensive measures are going to have to get better, and that includes the things the organization does. And also industry plays a very big role in bringing the IT products and systems to our customers.
And so in general terms, if someone was proficient at the assessments done under the last version of 53A, what's different for them under the new version?
There was three major objectives to this publication. The first one, obviously, is to create and develop all of the new assessment procedures. So every new control in 800-53, new security control, we had to develop an equal and equivalent assessment procedure. So the first thing people are going to notice is that there are now assessment procedures for every security control and control enhancement in the 853 document. The second thing we did, and this is very important in the era now of scarce resources, and we want to make sure we can target and tailor our security appropriately. We broke down every one of the procedures into more granular pieces. So in a typical security control, let's use account management, for example, where you're trying to disable accounts if somebody leaves the organization or manage the privileges, there's lots of different parts to controls. And we found that by breaking down the procedures in a more granular fashion, things that were working well, you wouldn't have to go back and repeat necessarily that part of the assessment. You could really target on the part of the control, the part of the system that was actually giving you problems. Now, this is not only a big cost saver for our federal agencies, but it also supports the continuous monitoring program, the DHS program of continuous diagnostics and mitigation, and it allows us to do the new policy that OMB and NIST we are supporting in our publication called Ongoing Authorization, which is more of a continuous risk acceptance, risk monitoring process that gives you a better handle on the state of your security day-to-day, hour-by-hour, as opposed to the way we used to do it every 3 years, and then we would come back and revisit that, which is a long time in this day and age. 3 years is a long time to wait to look at those kinds of key issues.
And when you are looking at some of the risks and some of the mitigation techniques that are described here, I guess when you talk about risk management and you talk about putting resources where it's most needed, it seems like the idea of a breach itself doesn't scare people as much as the idea of actual data loss. So is it possible to sustain breaches in a harmless manner as long as you protect what it is people are trying to get after inside the systems?
When you look at cybersecurity from a technical perspective, I'm talking about from a science and engineering perspective, you get a very different view of how we do cyber today. I believe it is possible to do that. And in the world that we live in today, where we have this total dependence on information technology, and you're not going to be able to control what your adversaries are going to do, they're going to continue to throw cyber attacks our way. The data we have is valuable, not just in the public sector, but the private sector. Adversaries want that data, they're going to go after it. So it's inevitable that we're going to have breaches. But we have another special publication, which is related to the work we just released. It's an architectural and engineering document that will be coming out in final version next year in 2015. This document takes international standards, an IEEE and ISO standard for systems engineering. This is how we actually build systems from the start. And it, through architecture and engineering best practices, it allows you to segregate the architecture, create different domains, so all of your data is not in one place. There are barriers placed so the malware, if it does get through and through due to a breach, it's not going to be able to spread throughout the entire system and bring everything down. I use the analogy of an oil tanker, where if you get hit in one place in an oil tanker, it spills one compartment and not the whole load. It never used to be that way. You know, it used to be we didn't have compartments in these tankers and the whole load would get spilled. So we can apply our scientific and engineering principles here, and I think increase the level of penetration resistance. And then when bad things do happen, we can increase the trustworthiness of that system, and our mission will be more resilient in the end.
We're speaking with Dr. Ron Ross. He's FISMA Implementation Project and Joint Task Force Leader at NIST. And in the introduction to the report, let's just go to the very beginning, you describe a system as a lot more than simply the wires and the boxes with blinking lights that are mounted in racks. There's a big human factor in all of this.
There's a huge human factor in everything we do. We always talk about security in a multidimensional context where we have people, processes, and technologies all working together. And so, you know, some of the things that we do routinely, people make mistakes. They're under lots of pressure to get their jobs done. This is the same reason why you see people continue to open up email attachments and they're clicking on the web links, which is still the primary vehicle to introduce malware into our system. So there again, we have ways to support a good security policy by backing it up with technology. The one thing I didn't mention is that in this new granular format that we're using, we've also made this more tool-friendly. So if organizations purchase automated tools to assist in their continuous monitoring process, we produce the documents content, the procedures, in a format called XML, which is kind of it's a techie term, but it allows tools to read the information from the document and make it more efficient for organizations to use the content and manage their security programs. That's very important, again, today, as we try to target our security into the places where we really need it, and it gives us a leg up in doing that kind of a process.
And I imagine you're encouraged by the fact that Congress has managed to pass some long-awaited cybersecurity legislation, including an update to FISMA itself.
Well, it's always good to have supportive legislation at the top. I like to look at the security business in layers, and certainly legislation typically is running around the 30,000-foot level, and the details of the programs end up coming from the NIST standards and guidelines and other international and national standards and guidance that comes out. But it's always good to have that focus. It allows us to focus our efforts And I know that people are reading a lot about these cyber attacks today, but I think that 2015 and beyond is going to be a turning point. I mentioned the 800-160 publication. Again, that is going to also take everything we've done in our FISMA project for the last 12 years and show how all of the things like the risk management framework, the security controls, risk assessments, how all those basic tools that our agencies use can be fully integrated into the lifecycle process so we can get, finally, security built in from the start and not have to worry about adding it on at the 11th hour like many organizations are forced to do today.
All right. Well, just final question. When you do the process of revising these documents, you get input from industry and government, fair to say? And who weighs in the heaviest?
We get inputs from every place on the planet. We get heavy inputs from the federal agencies. Industry comments on our publications all the time. They're active participants and they're active partners of ours. And also we get comments not just from within the United States, but internationally as well. So we get a lot of sunshine placed on these requirements and controls and documents before they go final. So everybody gets a chance to weigh in. We thoughtfully consider every comment, and it's reflected, I believe, very heavily in the final versions of these publications, because at the end of the day, we have to make sure the pubs work, and we work very hard to make sure that the content is appropriate, technically correct, and effective for their organizations.
All right. Ron Ross is the FISMA Implementation Project and Joint Task Force Leader at NIST. Is it okay if we just call you the Cybersecurity Grand Poobah?
Oh, that's fine with me. I'm just glad to be doing what I'm doing.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good one.